This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 600.
Woohoo!
Sarah, 600. It's crazy.
So exciting.
It feels exciting. And the funny thing is, so tomorrow's VIP email, that's the free email that I send out once a week with thoughts, inspiration, motivation. Every once in a while, it's a recipe-ish, as much as I ever do recipes. But in tomorrow's VIP email, I'm sharing 5 lessons I learned in 600 podcasting episodes.
Oh.
And one of them is like, nobody's counting. It doesn't matter. Because this is actually like episode 639 or episode 640, because I used to just do it weird. But when you see 600, like, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Starting out on day one to ever have thought about, like, doing, heck, in 50 episodes felt really daunting. So here we are, episode 600. It's, like, really exciting.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I kind of want to celebrate. In my family, we really believe in celebrating everything.
Which I love.
Like, it doesn't matter. It's like the third Tuesday in March. Let's have a party.
Put some crowns on.
Yeah. You know, my family likes headgear.
I know. It's so cool.
We, for every holiday, have like hats, crowns, some costume of some sort. Doesn't even have to be a holiday.
Yeah. I think I heard something about wigs for an upcoming event.
Yes, because you met my mother.
Yes.
And she was sharing that she has always loved to host parties. But she was sharing her next themed party is going to be a wig party. And I'm like, I have to be there.
I so want to come.
I got a couple years ago. Did you see the pictures of me dressed up as Ariel?
Yes, I did.
Yes. And the boyfriend was King Triton, mm-hmm. which is a little weird because it's father, daughter. But like, whatever. It's yeah. Halloween. Who cares?
Exactly.
And you know what? Be weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that red wig really made me quite happy.
Mm-hmm.
It felt fun.
Yeah. Different.
Yeah. If my mom has a wig party, we're both going.
Thank you.
What color would your wig be? And would it be short or long?
It would probably be short because I generally have long hair. And I don't know about the color. Something wild, like green or blue or different.
Mm, I can see people sending wigs.
Oh, yes.
Send the wigs.
I invite you to. Bring it on.
The point being, even though it is actually episode 639 or 640. I don't even know. We're going to celebrate because I think milestones should be celebrated and non-milestones should be celebrated and we should all celebrate more often. So just before I hit record, I was like, what do you think people want? This is how much forethought goes into this. Yeah. But we love you. And so, okay, here's what I've just decided based on a 27-second conversation with Sarah before hitting record. 3 prizes. Let me tell you first what I want you to do, and then I'll tell you what you can win because, you know, you got to decide if you're going to do it or not. Since I am sharing the 6 lessons tomorrow in the VIP email that I've learned from podcasting, I would love for you to share either your favorite episode or one of your favorite lessons that you've learned from the podcast. And the way that you can do that, if you share on Instagram, you have to tag me at Elizabeth Benton. And if you share on Facebook, you have to tag Primal Potential Podcast, which is the Facebook page for Primal Potential. So if you share on Instagram, you have to tag me at Elizabeth Benton, and you are sharing either your favorite episode and or your biggest takeaway, one of the primary lessons you've learned. And it can be both. In episode 287, my biggest lesson was this, or just what I've learned from the Primal Potential podcast. But you've got to tag me on Instagram at Elizabeth Benton, or if you do it on Facebook, you have to tag the Primal Potential page, which is Primal Potential Podcast, all one word.
I can't wait to read these.
I know. I can go back and talk about lessons I've learned from each episode. And I think collectively, wouldn't it be cool if we got like 1,000 people saying their biggest takeaways and then maybe we could do a podcast all about people's biggest takeaways?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really cool. So there are a couple other ways that you can enter to win, and all of the details are going to be on the show notes page for today's episode as when as well as when I will draw the winner. It'll be 2 weeks from today, which I believe is May 25th. And you will have to reach out. I will announce the winners on the podcast. You'll have to email me by June 1st. So you got to be listening to the podcast to find out if you win. If you never email, if you email after June 1st, sorry, Charlie, you don't win. But that is the scoop. So all the details on what you got to do to win will be over on the show notes, primalpotential.com/600. Woo woo. Prize packs. I was thinking number one would be a very Primal Potential themed prize. Big stuff like free entrance into the summer 12 weeks to transformation, which includes your identity journal in the mail, and free access to breaking barriers. And I won't even make you wait until the summer to get your identity journal. Sarah and I will send it out as soon as you claim your prize. So that is prize number one. You get into the summer 12 weeks to transformation for free. And if you win and you're a veteran, you get into the veterans group for free. That is prize pack numero uno. What do you think about that? Good?
Yeah, so exciting.
Prize pack numero dos is going to be some of our favorite things. So gift card to Thrive Market, gift card to Fabletics, classy glasses, which are the blue blocker glasses that we both love so much. They're adorable. And I wear them outside of the house when I'm not looking at my computer because they're just really cute. And who doesn't want cute glasses? So Thrive Market gift card, Fabletics gift card, classy glasses. That's prize pack numero dos. And then prize pack numero tres. I've been getting a lot of questions about gut health and probiotics and what I take. And while I don't share product specifics on the podcast, the reason for that is when it comes to supplements, they are not the first or the second or the third line of defense. For most people, we're talking nutrition is number one and stress and sleep and all of those things. But prize pack numero tres will be the supplements that I personally love and take, especially those geared towards gut health. So that'll be prize pack number three. You have to share your favorite episode of the podcast and or one of your biggest lessons. And if you share it on Instagram, you've got to tag me. If you share it on Facebook, you've got to tag the Primal Potential page. And there will be more information and more ways to be entered to win. You can enter more than once. So if you do this six times, you get six entries over the next 2 weeks because I'll be announcing the winner on the May 25th show. Sarah, can you make a note in the calendar that when we record the episode for May 25th that we do that? That's a Saturday show as well. Because, yeah, that's one of like 112 reasons that I love you, Sarah.
I'm happy to be here and happy to help.
Today, I shared on Instagram the text message I sent you this morning.
I can't remember what it was.
I said, do you know what today is?
Yes, I remember now.
And she said, is it office painting day? Because we have our office being renovated right now. And I was like, no, it's even better. It's bring your own toilet paper to work day.
I did it.
You did. She brought four rolls of toilet paper. Yes. And I was like, no, seriously, we're out of toilet paper.
No, really, bring it.
If you want to wipe, you got to bring your own because I'm not going to get to the store before you arrive. So in she walks. Yeah. That's just how things, it really, people might think that we have it all together over here.
Yeah. Not really.
The only reason you don't hear us going, damn it, Rumi, is because we put the puppy in his crate for this episode. Because otherwise, all you would hear every 2 seconds is, damn it, Rumi. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If there was like, if this place was bugged.
Can you imagine if that was put into an episode of a podcast?
Just real life.
Just the things that are actually said.
It would be really hysterical. It would be really hysterical. I started the morning by telling you about the crazy dream I had last night.
Yes.
Oh, making out with a really, really cute guy with great eyes while my actual boyfriend was jumping in mud puddles and getting into my car dirty.
What? 8:30 in the morning.
What does that even mean, though? If there are any dream interpreters listening, I promise we'll get to your questions because that's what we do on Sunday show or no, Saturday shows. But I want to know, I was making out with this guy who was really cute and had great eyes while my boyfriend was jumping and rolling in mud puddles and getting in my car.
But this guy you were making out with is not someone you know.
No.
Kind of a faceless guy.
He had a face. Okay. It was a nice face.
Okay.
But you don't know somebody who he is. I know.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, so I'm excited to hear what you guys have taken away as your primary lessons from the podcast. And as we do on Saturday, we've got a bunch of great questions. Sarah, you want to kick it off?
Yes, I do. This one comes with a little bit of a backstory, but there's some questions within it. So they say, I have lost noticeable weight, and I am overall way healthier. Many people are now asking, wow, you look great. Did you lose weight and how did you do it? I have not formulated a good response to this question. Can you help me? I think people have different intentions. Some want an answer, like paleo or keto or a specific diet. Some are just making note of it and complimenting. Some really could benefit from all that I have learned, but I can't go into that preach mode. Because I have done and changed so many things, it's really hard to respond. I changed my mindset. I paid attention to my thoughts. I asked myself what else is true. I created small new habits. I realized every choice is a chance. I changed my eating, changed my exercise. I started meditating. I found joy in the process, etc. I really don't like the attention, so I would love a succinct yet helpful response. Any suggestions?
Okay, let's break there for a second. First of all, congratulations on creating these changes. And the same is very true for me, right? The least of the things I've changed is what and when and how much I eat. Like, yes, those things have changed for me for sure, but they are not the biggest changes that I have made. So I totally hear you on that. And also, what a lot of people might be surprised to know about me is I really dislike talking about myself. And it's funny because one of my boyfriend's best friends, who happens to live in the apartment attached to my house, gets such a kick out of this. He is probably more in tune to my discomfort in talking to myself than anybody I've ever met in my life. He will notice that I start to like walk out of the room or I go busy myself and get a drink, and he just always laughs because people ask me every single day, like, about either the business or about real estate or about weight loss or, you know, any of those things in between. And I just, agree with you. Preach mode is never what to go into when asked. And also, it can be a little bit uncomfortable and multifactorial because you're not going to go, well, A, B, C, D, E, F, right? I've changed all of these things. I personally, and everybody has to find what they are really comfortable with, because I'm sure there are people who love, like, do you have an hour? Let me tell you everything that's changed in my life. Some people might really love that and feel that it fits for them. But this particular individual asking the question seems a little bit more like me in this regard. I keep it really simple. You know, I just started taking better care of myself and I stopped doing the things that didn't make me feel good. Because that is all-encompassing, and it's also the truth, right? Because it's not – I've done the diets where actually, you know, I started counting calories or I did ketosis. And what other people want to hear, because this person was like, some people want a diet prescription. Well, it doesn't matter what they want. Your answer is not about what they want. Your answer is about what is true for you and what you feel comfortable sharing, period. So what is true for me – is that I started taking better care of myself. And that includes a lot of things. And if people say, well, what do you eat? Just whole food and not too much of it. You know, I eat real food and not too much of it. That's all. And for this particular person listening, you know, like a lot of people would benefit from them. If you want to shoot them to the podcast, shoot them to the podcast. Like, you know what? I don't really know how to explain it really well, but what was helpful to me is, you know, whatever, the Primal Potential podcast. Or if there's something else that was really helpful, point them to that. But I find that saying what is true and I'm comfortable sharing usually starts with, I just started taking better care of myself. Somebody asked me the other day, they emailed me and said, hey, I'm trying to start a business and we have to interview somebody that we admire, blah, 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 blah. Can I get on the phone with you and ask you some questions? And I said, sure. And one of the questions was, when people ask you what you do, what do you say? And I said, I'm a podcaster. She's like, you don't say that, you know, you're an author. You don't say that you're a coach. And I was like, no, I'm a podcaster. It is true. And it's also what I'm comfortable sharing. And sometimes people take it a little further. What is your podcast about? But I think coming at what is true for me and what do I feel comfortable sharing is a great way. And you can always share what has been true for you without preaching. And you don't have to, you know, some people will be like, well, what is your typical breakfast or what is your typical dinner? And some people will get uncomfortable with that level of questioning. Understand that you control where the conversation goes and doesn't go. Just because somebody has a deeper level of curiosity than you want to get into doesn't mean you have to go there. If somebody asks me, I'm going to say it varies. You know, what is a typical dinner? It varies. But I eat real food and I try not to eat too much of it. And I indulge less than I did before. You know, it's whatever you decide for it to be. But the key is don't get too wrapped up in it. Like, don't take it so seriously. The stress can come when we create anxiety about the conversation. It's no different than, you know, you notice that somebody's hair looks amazing and you want to know like what kind of shampoo they use. They could go into what they used to use and they could go into what they use now and how often they wash it. Or they can just be like, yeah, I switched shampoos. You know what I mean? So don't put too much into it. Do what you feel comfortable with. I think there was a second part of this question. Was there?
There is. Yeah. And it kind of made me chuckle. I'm curious to see what your response is.
I love that word chuckle, by the way.
You do?
Because it's just such a bizarre word, like chuckle.
Yeah, I never thought about it.
Like chuckle. Show me your chuckle.
Okay. Well, hopefully people are chuckling now. This person says, on a different note, and perhaps not something you even want to share, but don't you get so frustrated with people's excuses day after day? I have friends and family members that will ask questions or seem to want to know what to do to make the changes I have made. I want them to feel better and be free of these burdens. But when I share with them, the excuses start. They will say that I can exercise because I stay home with my kids and they work all day. Or that they try for a few days and then give up. At first, I tried to help them to see their excuses, but this didn't help. I want to help them, but then I get frustrated thinking, what is the point of going in circles? Should I just avoid this topic with them altogether? Perhaps they aren't in the right place yet. Anyway, I then think of you dealing with this mindset on a huge scale.
You know, okay, so the question is, do I get frustrated with people's excuses? No, and here's why. I was there for a really, really, really long time. And at the time, they didn't feel like excuses. They felt like my reality. And I hate the idea that somebody was frustrated with me. Because surely when I was deep in the struggle and not creating change in my life, there were lots of people who were out of the excuses and creating change in their life that could look at me and be like, what a loser. But I wasn't a loser. I've never been a loser. I've felt like one, but I just wasn't there yet. So I understand. What I can say is this person might not be ready for action. They might not be ready for a relationship with me. They might not be ready to do the work. But it doesn't frustrate me because I have empathy and understanding because I've been there and nobody could force me to be ready, just like I can't force anybody else to be ready. And the other piece of it too is I would be frustrated all the damn time. And I don't want to live like that. To give somebody else's readiness control over my emotional state is something I refuse to do. So as for like whether you want to engage or not, don't judge them like I shouldn't even have this conversation because they're not ready. Well, you never know what is getting through and what's not. And what you say today, they might not act on for 3 months, but 3 months from now they might. Either way, it's not our job to make a judgment of somebody else's readiness. We have all, every single one of us have lived in excuses at some point in our life with what we were willing to do about our cleanliness of our house or our car or our eating habits or our exercise habits or our negativity. whatever. We are not here to place judgment on somebody else's journey. Period. The end. That is so major. That's what I think about that. Before we go to the next question, I think there was one above, before this question that I wanted to tackle, and it really speaks to my heart. So if it's okay with you, Sarah, I'm going to, for somebody who lost their dad, and I just really, like, that just really, really speaks to me. So I want to talk about this. I don't want it to fall through the cracks here. Somebody messaged me and said that a couple years ago, they had lost 30 pounds and was still about 30 pounds from their goal weight. It took them about 9 months to lose 30 pounds, and they were feeling really good and really encouraged and all of those things. Working with a functional doctor, this person has a lot in common with me. They have Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which I do as well, but things were going well. And then they lost their dad. Really suddenly, this person's father passed away in his sleep, and you know, it caught her off guard. Then she says it just screwed her up on every level, hormonally, mentally, emotionally, and they gained back all the weight. 3 months, put back the weight that it took them 9 months to lose. And this particular email says, knowing that you have lost your dad too makes me feel even more connected to you. And even though I'm probably old enough to be your mom, I'm coming to you for guidance. It says, how does daddy's little girl get back to where I was in my weight loss journey? I was almost at the top of my mountain and I got kicked down so hard I don't know how to start climbing again. How did you and how do you suggest getting it back together? Okay, first, I'm terribly sorry for your loss, because losing a loved one is one of the hardest things in life, without a doubt. Hands down, no question. And my dad died in a car accident, so certainly I get the sudden loss thing with no opportunity to say your goodbyes and all that. Here's what I also know to be true. We can grieve and also take great care of ourselves. So there is either a perspective that says, I can't because life is hard, or there is a perspective of, this is just how I operate. I have decided, and it is a decision, and it's not a decision you make once, it's a decision you make again and again and again and again. I have decided that I take great care of myself. And that means to me that I take great care of myself one singular choice at a time, when I am tired and when I'm full of energy, when I'm happy and I'm celebrating, and when I'm down and I'm grieving. And that is a decision, and it truly happens one choice at a time. I believe that the most powerful solutions are the simplest. You do not have to say, like, these two things, grieving the loss of your father or any other person or any situation, and self-care, one doesn't have to happen for the other to happen. You can continue to grieve and to mourn and to experience that loss fully and make one great choice at a time. We merge these things together and tie our hands as we do so, because it sometimes is the easiest thing to do, just to check out. But what I tell myself is, when life feels hard, this is when it matters most. I have the ability to make this harder on myself or to make it easier on myself, because if I betray myself, I've added another casualty to this loss. So back to the simple solution piece, it is no more complex, no more in depth than, what is one great choice I can make in the next hour? What am I able and willing to do to take great care of myself today? It is just not true that we have to get through the pain in order to take great care of ourselves, right? We have to separate these. I can be sad. I can be stressed. I can be overwhelmed. I can be full of anxiety and also take great care of myself. Every single choice is a chance to be someone who says, I just take great care of myself. It's not, well, but then when I'm stressed, or then this thing happened in life. And that is a practice, and life serves up a million opportunities for us to do that. And it's no different whether we're talking about food choices or we're talking about attitude choices. Sarah and I were driving up to Boston last weekend, and we were talking about how trust is a choice. You're smiling.
Yeah, I remember that conversation clearly.
Because it's not – so many things we oversimplify as these umbrella things. Like, I either trust you or I don't. I either take great care of myself or I'm hurting and I'm grieving. It's just a choice. And how many millions of times will you have to make that choice? And it doesn't matter what happened yesterday. You can choose to trust today. You can choose to take great care of yourself today. You can choose to make one good decision today, or you can choose to tell yourself this story of things that go together that really don't. Like, we can grieve deeply and be hurt deeply and make one great choice. And the practice of separating those things. I can be stressed beyond measure and make a great choice. My schedule can be full and my time can be tight and I can make one great choice instead of continuing to overlap these things as if they are at odds when they are not. So that's just real personal to me, and I can relate to that. So I wanted to touch on that.
Well, you just touched upon this next question too, but I'll read it for you. This person says they eat when they're tired, sad, and stressed. How can they change their relationship with food?
Yeah, it definitely is kind of the same thing, you know. And it makes me actually think back to the question about how do you answer when somebody says, like, what have you changed? You can operate from a place of loving yourself or of showing no regard for yourself, right? I can make one great choice. I can show myself love when I'm tired, when I'm sad, when I'm stressed. What does it mean to you to make choices from a place of taking care of you, of winning the moment you are in? And in this particular situation where the person says, how do I change my relationship with food, right? I'm eating when I'm tired, when I'm stressed, when I'm sad. It begins with, and in Chasing Cupcakes, there's like 200 and some odd questions that you can ask yourself in any given moment that will help you see things more clearly. And I think those particular questions, and I'll link to Chasing Cupcakes in the show notes, but those particular questions will help you break this down. You know, what is the relationship with food that I want? And what can I do to create it today? These things are not solved on a theoretical basis. They are not solved in your head first, like, let me map it out on paper. They're solved in action. So instead of coming to this from the perspective of the problem, I eat when I'm tired, I eat when I'm sad, I eat when I'm stressed, I want you to come at it from the perspective of the solution. What am I able and willing to do today to change my relationship with food? And it also makes me think about the identity journal inside the 12 Weeks to Transformation. So the identity journal is a physical journal that you get when you're part of the 12 Weeks to Transformation. And if I were working through somebody inside the 12 Weeks to Transformation with this, I would be saying, okay, if you had the kind of relationship with food that you want to have with food, what would it look like today? And maybe for this particular person who's saying, I eat when I'm tired, well, you know, after dinner, I'm going to be done. That's what it would look like today. We have to come at this from the perspective of acting on the solution instead of trying to understand the problem. How do you change your relationship with food? One choice at a time. I was thinking about the theme of today's episode, other than celebrating 600 episodes, I was thinking about, because there's a question about loving yourself, right? Well, what if you made choices today just through the lens of what does it look like to really show myself love and respect? And one of the mantras that I use is food is the solution when hunger is the problem. And then that way, when it's 9:30 and I'm like, oh, I want a little snack, I can tell myself, okay, food is the solution when hunger is the problem. Is hunger the problem right now? No, I'm just bored. Okay, then what would be a solution to boredom? Because I know that food is only the solution when hunger is the problem. And I actually, at the request of people in our Primal Potential Facebook group, I just created a PDF of affirmations that I use in my own life and the episodes, the podcast episode numbers that talk about them in more detail. So that might be a really great tool. Everybody who is on the wait list for our summer 12 Weeks to Transformation gets that PDF. But I think that creating a different story, whether you're using the questions from Chasing Cupcakes to do that, or you're using the affirmations from this PDF that you get when you get on the wait list for the summer 12 weeks to transformation, instead of arguing for the problem, I'm the kind of person who eats when I'm stressed, approach it from today's solution. And episode 548 is epic for this. Episode 548 goes into this switch, breaking the pattern of approaching it from the problem and instead approaching it from the solution, but not the theoretical solution. How do I fix this? What am I able and willing to do today to create the solution? That's what I think.
You did an episode on drama, which is
episode 570. I love that episode.
This person has a couple questions about that. How does lack of commitment translate to drama? And what exactly does that mean, or what does it mean to you?
Okay. I want to make sure I remember episode 570 because drama is like the killer of all great things in every relationship and every thought process. So how does lack of commitment translate to drama? What does that mean? What does it mean to me? When I think about drama, I think of what we add to the facts. Right? So the way we infuse our history and our feelings into circumstances. So going back to the last question, I eat when I'm stressed. That is infusing drama, because if we had a drama-free approach, it would be, if it was just objective, what is stressing me out is X, the solution is Y. But when we infuse drama, it's like, oh, screw it. Who cares? I'm just going to eat. It doesn't matter. I'll start tomorrow. I just can't deal. All of those things that we add to the objective reality, those are facts. That's drama. And it competes with our commitment. So the way that lack of commitment and drama are related is that drama is the way we talk ourselves out of our commitments. So when the alarm goes off in the morning and you're like, oh, I know I said I was going to go to the gym. I'm going to go later, right? Infusing feelings to the facts is one way that we add drama that can erode our commitment. The same thing is true when we get super dramatic about, and this happens all the time in my inbox, I've been so good. I've been making better choices. I got on the scale this morning and it hadn't changed, or it was up a half a pound. The way that you infuse your feelings to an objective reality threatens your commitment, because you start to invite all these other stories and alternative realities, all of this emotion, you're allowing it to erode the commitment that you made. The same thing that can happen in any area of your life. So let's say that you decide to, and this is only coming to mind because I was talking to somebody about it just the other day. You decide to start a podcast and you do your first few episodes and nobody's listening. Like, you thought that you would just get these downloads and your title is great and your artwork is great, but like, you've got 3 downloads. Well, when you start to get in your head like, oh my gosh, this isn't going to work. Nobody cares. What the heck? I thought this would be easier. That is how you start to erode your commitment, by letting drama into what could otherwise be an objective fact. That's what I think.
This person continues on a little bit and they are questioning whether commitment and freedom can live together. Can I be committed to something and also free? If so, how? And can commitment actually lead to freedom?
This is a great question, and I'm going to steal from Jocko Willink. He has a great book called Discipline Equals Freedom. So not only do I think that commitment can lead to freedom, I think it's really hard to have freedom without commitment. If we even just look at time, if you are, and I'm going to use the words discipline and commitment kind of interchangeably. If you are disciplined in your time, you are giving yourself so much more freedom. Now, you could choose to see it as like, well, no, this is the opposite of freedom, because if I say that I'm going to do this at this time and this at that time and this at that time, I'm not free. But what you're freeing yourself from is the sort of like floating all over the place and I have no way to where to start. When I wake up in the morning, it is the same thing. Even with adding the puppy and the chickens and all of the other stuff to the mix, I still know that when I wake up, I'm having my water, I'm getting my coffee, I'm taking the puppy out, I'm opening up the chicken coop, and then I'm coming in and I'm doing my journaling. And that creates so much freedom, because what I used to do is like, oh my gosh, I don't even know. There's so many things that need to, you know, and I would start out overwhelmed. When you have that discipline, when you are committed, you create freedom. It's the same thing with food, right? If I've decided, if I've made a commitment and I am practicing the discipline that I'm not drinking alcohol, that's giving me freedom from maybe the months before I'd be like, should I have a glass of wine? Should I not? Like, oh, maybe one. Maybe I'll drink today, but I won't drink tomorrow. And that is draining. That is absolutely draining. If you make the commitment to go to the gym, then you are freeing yourself up from the exhausting ongoing debate of should I, shouldn't I, should I do it at home, should I do it now, should I do it later? And then there's the other piece of it, which is physical freedom, emotional freedom, and financial freedom. You can't have financial freedom without a commitment to certain financial principles and a discipline with your finances. The commitment and the discipline it took for me to get out of debt is what created the freedom I experience now. The discipline and the commitment that I have put into my work has created the freedom that I have now. So I don't think you can have any freedom without commitment and discipline, period.
Have you done a podcast on loving yourself?
I mean, to be really honest, I think every podcast is about that. Because, and maybe that sounds a little cliche or overly generous, but the reality is taking care of yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, financially is a practice of loving yourself and showing yourself love. So, yes. Specifically, I would point you to most recently episode 599 and then 589, 586, 580, 576, 574, 571, 570 just in the last 20 episodes, 30 episodes. And I will link to those in the show notes. Also, Chasing Cupcakes is tools for creating a better relationship with yourself and everything in your life. I'll link to that in the show notes. But more specifically, it starts with changing how you think, because you cannot think thoughts like, I suck, I'm a failure, I'm so mad at myself, I'm disgusting, what's wrong with me, why do I always do this, and like miraculously find yourself really loving who you are. It comes with changing how you think. So every single episode where we've talked about that, which is essentially every single episode with only a few exceptions, is about the practice of that. And I mentioned this a few minutes ago. I'll mention it again. One of the ways that I created this shift, because I didn't love myself. In fact, I hated myself and everything about me for most of my life. And I had to not only stop telling the stories of like, I'm fat, I'm gross, I'm disgusting, I'm pathetic, but I had to create new narratives that I could believe in. So it certainly wasn't like, I'm beautiful and I'm fit and everybody loves me, because A, it wasn't true at the time, and B, it certainly didn't feel real to me. But things like, I can make one great choice, or now, fear is a liar, I create my results. I created a list of the affirmations I'm using now, none of which are like, I'm, you know, super skinny and, you know, tiny little waist. Like, those aren't my affirmations at all, but they're empowering. They focus me on what I can do. I created that at the request of people in the Primal Potential Facebook group, and you can get that download, which includes both my current affirmations and podcast episodes where I've talked about it, by getting on the wait list for the summer 12 weeks to transformation. And I'll put that link in the show notes for today's episode at primalpotential.com/600.
I really love that resource too.
I know.
I use it often.
For just the affirmations? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they switch everything.
I know.
We use these affirmations like in conversation with each other on the reg.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, it's a good thing that every dollar I spend comes back to me exponentially.
I repeat that daily, and that's only because of you. So I appreciate it.
But it's a stress reliever.
It is. Yeah. It definitely gets me out of my own head.
For sure. Yeah.
All right. What is the first step? How do I commit to this lifestyle change without being overwhelmed?
Don't think about it as a lifestyle change. One of the primary reasons that people are overwhelmed is because they are thinking about the big picture. Well, yeah. The good news is we don't live in the big picture. We live in the moment we are in. So the answer to both of these questions, what is the first step and how do I commit to this lifestyle choice without being overwhelmed, win the moment you are in. Stop thinking about it as a lifestyle change and start thinking about it as the moment you are in. What is the way you can win this moment? One of the things I write about in Chasing Cupcakes is this idea, I think it comes from Debbie Millman, that excellence is the next 5 minutes. And when I get overwhelmed with my work or with cleaning the house or with an outdoor project or cleaning the closet or anything like that, excellence is the next 5 minutes. You will always be overwhelmed if you are taking on in your mind more than you can take on in this moment. And all you can take on in this moment is this damn moment. What is your next best choice? The first step is winning the moment you're in, period. And I also think that those affirmations, because I deal with that all the time, not so much now with food, although certainly at times it's with food, but with money, with work, with relationships, win the moment you are in. So I think that affirmations download for the 12 weeks to transformation waitlist could be a really great starting point as well. I think we got one more.
Yeah, last question. How do I figure out what is wrong with my gut and sort it out?
So many questions about gut health. And we have been talking about this since the beginning of the Primal Potential podcast. So where to start, I believe, is with getting a better understanding of all of the factors that go into it. So what I'm going to put in the show notes for today's episode over at primalpotential.com/600 are all of the episodes we've done on gut health. So if you are passionate about this, if you feel like this is an area that you need to tackle, start there. Our first episode on gut health was episode 55. Then 432, 482, 504, and then more recently 596. So I want you to go back to those episodes. The other thing I'll say that might surprise you is that I don't necessarily know that you need to figure out what is wrong. You can just start making improvements. You know, one of the things I say to my 12-week clients on the regular comes from a quote, and I can't remember the citation off the top of my head, but birds don't need an ornithologist in order to fly. Meaning, birds don't need a bird expert consult in order to know how to fly, right?
So true.
And so freeing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it feels good to, like, get a ton of information, but oftentimes we don't need that. And that can be a real step towards growth. You don't need to know what is wrong to make an improvement. Now, if there's a real serious clinical issue, yes. But for the majority of people, if not all people, you can start to make an improvement now. And I talk about the strategies for that in those episodes, which is why I reference those episodes numbers going all the way back to episode 55. So making sure that you are eating real food, minimizing processed foods, that is number one. not overeating. Even healthy foods is number two, because when you overburden your gut, you impair your microbiome. So whole foods mostly, minimizing processed foods, not overeating. All right, those are number the three top nutritional things. Then stress has a big role in gut health. So are you minimizing stress? We can all make improvements there without ever knowing the issue. Those things matter most. Then I would say limiting toxic exposure. So getting a water filter. I've done an episode on that. When you can, choosing organic foods versus non-organic. And if you cannot afford organic or choose not to spend your money that way, buy leaner cuts of meat and trim the fat, because most of the toxins are stored in the fat. We don't have to worry about that as much when we're choosing organic, things like that. The supplementation angle and the testing angle is where a lot of people want to go. But my sense is start with the big rocks first, because I talked about this in one of the recent episodes. If you're like, oh, well, I need a test. Well, you can save money and do the big stuff that matters most first. We can all create those improvements. You can start that right now today. The other piece of it with supplementation, it's kind of like somebody messaged me, you know, how many probiotics should I be taking? Like, what's the magical number in a supplement of CFUs? And I'm like, see, that's not the most important consideration. It's kind of like saying, how many seeds should I plant? Well, what you're planting them in matters most. So we want to make sure that the environment in the body, because of our food choices, because we're not overeating, because we're minimizing stress, that that is optimized. There is a time and a place for supplementation, but the supplements are not going to be effective going into a toxic environment, whether that is because of overeating or processed foods or anything like that. So I guess my short answer is, I don't think you need to figure it out in order to make an improvement. And I would recommend starting with those episodes 55, 055, 432, 482, 504, and 596. So yeah. Do you have any final thoughts? Like, this is episode 600 and you've probably done like 10 now.
I don't have any final thoughts really. Definitely continuously feeling more comfortable. And I've been getting some awesome feedback too, which I really appreciate from listeners. I know, it's really nice. So thank you.
That's so sweet. Yes. We love Sarah. She also brings her own toilet paper to work, which is awesome. That really happened.
Priorities.
That really happened today. And she walked in wearing like a long sweater, and immediately Rumi went after it. And I was like, oh, you wore a toy for the puppy. Like, how perfect is that?
And yes, I'm still wearing sweaters in May.
It's ridiculous. It is. It's been a little chilly and rainy here on Cape for like forever. Forever. But it's, yeah. The sun's out.
It is.
So we're grateful for that. And we're going to have an abundance of lilacs very soon.
I am so excited for that.
And I'm really excited about these giveaways. So to kind of wrap up, we're celebrating episode 600. We're going to have three winners. We're going to do free access for one person into the 12 weeks to transformation, as well as breaking barriers. Another prize pack is going to be some of our favorite things, classy glasses, Thrive Market gift card, Fabletics gift card. And then prize pack number three will be some of the supplements that I personally love and take, for those of you that are interested in that. What you've got to do is, on either Facebook or Instagram, share your favorite episode and or your biggest takeaway. Tag at Elizabeth Benton on Instagram or Primal Potential Podcast on Facebook. The more times you share something and tag me and tag Primal Potential, the more times you are entered to win. The winners will be drawn at random. It is not something that Sarah or I will be selecting. And you can learn more about other ways to enter to win at the show notes for today's episode, primalpotential.com/600. And here's to 600 more episodes.
Like, yeah.
I'm excited. I say this all the time, but like, I feel like we're just getting started and I can't wait to continue to make this better and better. And if there's anything you want to hear about on this Q&A episode or any other episode, go to primalpotential.com/inbox or send me a DM on Instagram. I'm super responsive to those, and let me know what is on your mind and how we can help you. And do not forget that every choice is a chance. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.